Here's what eating with the inverted food pyramid looks like. For 15 years, I've watched patients struggle with government nutrition advice that didn't make them feel good until now. The new guidelines maintain many familiar recommendations. They still advise keeping saturated fat under 10% of daily calories and limiting added sugars and sodium. However, the emphasis has shifted in ways that reflect what many clinicians have found actually works in practice, building meals around real foods with ample, individualized protein amounts, and sharply curbing highly processed products and refined carbohydrates. As a clinician who has used food-first strategies to improve patients' health, these guidelines better reflect what delivers results in real-world settings. Build a real food plate. Most people I see don't want another list of good and bad foods. They want a clear picture of what dinner can look like. Tonight's dinner is the perfect place to start. Think in simple terms. A piece of salmon, a burger made from ground beef, a couple of eggs, a bowl of full-fat yogurt, a handful of nuts and vegetables you or your kids can name. Rather than chasing perfect portions, follow a clear pattern. Put protein at the center, surround it with plenty of plants, and choose fats that come from real foods, like olives and avocados, instead of factory blends. Then, layer in what the guidelines still emphasize: lots of fruits and vegetables, and a modest amount of fiber-rich whole grains, like oats or brown rice, to round out the plate. Protein without the math. Take protein. For a 130-pound, moderately active 49-year-old woman, a reasonable target is roughly 60 to 75 grams per day, more than the bare minimum, but not bodybuilder territory. Instead of fixating on grams, use your hands. A 3 to 4 ounce portion of cooked ground beef delivers roughly 25 grams of protein, so a palm-sized portion at one meal, plus similar amounts from other foods, a breakfast of 3 eggs, some yogurt and nuts, or a piece of fish at dinner, can comfortably cover most of the day's needs, adjusted up or down based on hunger, activity, and how steady energy feels. The guidelines advise to eat the right amount for you, based on age, sex, size, and activity level, is a useful reminder that there is no single ideal plate. Your needs shift with your life and how much you move. For some people, that might mean more animal protein. For others, it means leaning more on lentils, tofu, and seeds so that plant-based options still deliver that palm-sized protein anchor at each meal. Making sense of fats. For years, guidelines trained people to fear anything that wasn't low-fat or fat-free. The new approach is less about waging war on saturated fat and more about asking where your fats come from and what else comes with them. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, for example, typically contain about 16 to 18 grams of total fat, with roughly 2.5 to 3 grams as saturated fat and the rest mostly unsaturated. Almond butter has similar total fat, but only about 1.3 to 1.5 grams of saturated fat and a higher proportion of heart-friendly monounsaturated fat. A typical 50-gram serving of avocado offers around 7 to 8 grams of total fat, with just 1 to 1.5 grams saturated and most as monounsaturated fat. In everyday language, avocado usually delivers less total fat and similar or lower saturated fat than nut butter, while all three can fit into a real food pattern when they come without added sugars and industrial oils. Rather than obsessing over every gram, you can make simple swaps that reflect the spirit of the guidelines. Sugary cereal becomes eggs with vegetables. A flavored yogurt cup becomes full-fat yogurt with chia seeds and berries. A processed snack bar becomes half a cup of hummus with cucumber or carrots and a piece of fruit. Match it to your culture. Real food eating is not a single cuisine. It is a way of organizing what you already eat. The strength of the new guidelines is that they can slide into almost any cultural pattern, as long as protein, plants, and whole food fats are allowed to show up and ultra-processed products are gently pushed aside. In a Mexican-inspired kitchen, that might mean turning tacos into a more filling meal by upping the seasoned beef or chicken, piling on grilled peppers, onions, and salsa, and using fewer ultra-refined shells. Or choosing corn tortillas and keeping packaged toppings to a minimum. In an East or Southeast Asian pattern, it could look like a stir-fry generous with chicken, tofu, or shrimp and vegetables over a modest portion of rice, instead of a giant bowl of noodles with only token protein. For a Mediterranean-style plate, you might build around grilled fish or lamb, a generous salad dressed with olive oil, some olives or nuts, and a side of beans or root vegetables. Budget and convenience matter just as much as ideals. Frozen vegetables are often just as nutritious as fresh and can be tossed into eggs, soups, or stir-fries in minutes. Canned fish turns into a high-protein salad or roast vegetable bowl with almost no prep. A rotisserie chicken can become several meals served with vegetables one night, shredded into tacos another, stirred into a soup on day three. Batch cooking ground beef or turkey on the weekend and seasoning it differently through the week turns a single effort into multiple real food dinners. The point isn't to abandon your culture's food, but to move it toward that pattern. More protein you can see, more plants you can name, fewer mystery ingredients that only a chemist would recognize. Run your own experiments. The most useful way to think about the new guidelines is not as a lifelong contract, but as a one-week experiment. For 7 days, upgrade just one meal per day. Swap the processed breakfast bar for eggs and vegetables. Trade the sugary afternoon snack for nuts and fruit. Replace the ultra-processed frozen dinner with a plate built from a palm-sized portion of protein, vegetables, and a whole food fat. Each day, read the labels on two foods you regularly buy and choose the option with fewer ingredients, less added sugar, and less sodium whenever you can. Or, better yet, choose foods with no label at all because they are single-ingredient staples. Then, without judgment, jot down what you notice. Did your afternoon energy crash as hard? Were you hungry an hour after eating, or could you go longer without a snack? Did your digestion feel calmer or more predictable? Do cravings feel a little less loud? In my naturopathic clinic, the most striking changes rarely show up first in lab results. They show up in how people feel on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday night. The takeaway: perfection is neither possible nor necessary. Today's guidelines move away from the idea that everyone must eat the same low-fat, grain-heavy, heavily fortified diet to be good. Instead, they endorse a pattern many clinicians have used for years: real food at the center, tailored protein amounts that respect your body and activity, whole food fats, and a steady pruning back of ultra-processed products and added sugars. The official document has separate details for kids, older adults, pregnant women, and people who eat vegetarian or mostly plant-based, but the backbone is the same. Prioritize protein at each meal. Stack the plate with colorful produce. Choose whole food fats and limit highly processed foods and added sugars. Think of any food chart or pyramid as a launch pad, not a strict set of rules. Food can work like medicine when it's shaped by solid science, a sense of balance, and compassion for real lives and limits. The new pyramid's core message, more whole foods, more often, is a strong step forward. The real power comes when you adapt those principles to your own body, culture, and daily routine. In other words, the guidelines are finally catching up to what your body has been trying to tell you all along. You do not need a calorie tracking app to listen. You just need a plate, your own two hands as a rough portion guide, and a week's worth of curiosity.